Well, hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Going Downhill. This is Wendy.
And I'm Shelly. Thing.
Oh, I understand completely. At least you don't sound like Mickey Mouse, so
yeah, I appreciate that. But if you hear me sniffling a little bit, that is why. Other than that, I have been on snow. It's been fun doing some training, you know, with the athletes. So
Awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. Shall we go to Slovenia and talk about some ladies?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're in Kranj. Gagora, as I think it's pronounced. Yes. It's the very northwest of Slovenia. It's believed to have been settled in the 11th century, and the first World Cup races were in 1961. Did you know that?
Wow, I wasn't even born yet.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's Miracle. Amazing.
I know, right?
All right, well, after that, we have women's giant slalom that happened on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday, there was the slalom. This track is pretty straightforward, we're gonna say. The first run was set on this regular track by Italy, Giorgio Pavoni, 39 turning gates, 41 gates. Course setter for the second run was Canada, Pierre Miniotti, 39 gates, 41 turning gates. The course name is Podkoren 3. I'm guessing I'm saying that wrong. The start altitude is 1181 meters. The finish altitude is 855 meters with a vertical drop of 326 meters. This course has a little bit of a road that runs through it.
Not a river that runs through it.
God, please stop.
I know, sorry. Carry on.
That was an old movie. Jeez.
I never saw it.
You're just dating yourself left, right, and center today.
Gotta date someone.
Touche. For all the listeners out there who are single, Wendy is right and available. So let's get there. Let's go back to the giant slalom, shall we? So this is not a very exciting course. It's pretty flat, and at the end there's a little bit of a pitch, but there's nothing really special about this. Again, it's setter's choice to make it interesting or not. And definitely, I mean, Schifrin's the usual hunt, given that her recent success in GS. Federica Brignone, of course, is on fire this season. Berami, Vlahova, Grenier, Bassino, and like Bucic, it's just also another one from, because she is on home soil as well. So, you gotta give some credit. There's quite a few contenders that could have popped in there.
Well, and I think on these courses that are not overly challenging, like you said, it's up to the course setter to make it a bit more challenging, but the terrain itself, it's difficult to make challenging because the terrain was just so basic.
Well, and this is where I think something like Tromblau did a really good job by putting those rollers in, the artificial bumps and kind of, terrain changes that they had. Because the slope in Tromblau wasn't that interesting, but they made the terrain interesting by adding features.
Yes, exactly. So that's totally workable.
Mm-hmm. But so didn't happen here.
It didn't really happen. But what could affect the excitement of the crowd is the weather. So that can also have an effect on some of the athletes. It was rainy. It was overcast. It was kind of gloomy. It was kind of snowing-ish. All those factors come into play.
Yeah, the track was not the hardest, and this is going to work against some of the athletes that like to be a little harder on their edges, I find. You're going to dig in a little bit more. If you dig in too much, you're going to lose that outside ski, or you're just going to kind of dump inside. It's not that hard kind of concrete surface that we're usually after. It wasn't to be found anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So it could affect, that softer snow could affect some of the later start athletes, but I guess we shall see.
Yes, absolutely. Let's just go over the results first. We'll go over the podium and then we'll go into our assessment of it, because we're always kind of beating around the bush. But I mean, everybody knows what happened. So
I do.
All right. Yeah. So third place, Brignone, not a shocker. Lara Gut, second place. Obviously not a shocker. She's just so strong. I love the way she skis. And then third place, yay, oh Canada, Valerie Grenier, second time being first place here. So she was the first place here a year ago and obviously is placed to her strength, which I'm not overly surprised with because of the flatter terrain.
Well, I'll start with Brignone. So she has had her results second, sixth, 11th, second. She was second after the first run. She was only, she was second, so she's obviously wanting to get that win. But she did get bounced around quite a bit on that second run. And maybe it's due to the starts and the softer snow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little sad for her because, I mean, she's only one victory short of having almost the same amount as Rebensburg, who has 34 podiums, and Brignone has 33. So she almost has as many podiums to kind of have that title, and she's so close. I think she'll get there this year, though.
Well, I think so. And the facts that we have about her is that she can record a podium finish in four consecutive World Cup GS races for the first time. And so she did do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And she only finished half a second back. She was the second fastest in the first run and the 13th fastest in the second. So that second run, obviously, it was not to her benefit.
That's right. And both of her World Cup finishes, podium finishes in Kranjska Gora were in GS. And she was second in January 2021 and 2023.
Nice. Yeah, so Brignone, obviously, really great. Kudos to her. Lara Goot, second. She's almost got 40 World Cup wins, but she's got 39, so she just came up short. A little sad for her, but also not sad
short
for Canada.
Short, is she short? Okay, sorry. My jokes are funny when you're not sick.
Sure, tell yourself that. Both of her two World Cup victories this season were NGS, which was Solden and Killington. But she's only been in third in the GS on Kranjska Gora, and that was last year. So she kind of one-upped herself from last year, but still not great.
Yeah, that's right. So she was in third after the second run, after the first run. And she did improve. She was only 0.15 being in third place. Anyway, she did have a couple of mistakes in that second run. She got back a little bit, had to struggle to get back. So she has great abs, obviously, to pull her back into the proper position. But she did lose time on the bottom pitch when she got out of rhythm due to getting back.
Right, exactly. And I mean, we didn't see Shiffrin was ninth and Vlahova was fourth. So obviously the Vlahova-Shiffrin show is a little bit different when it comes to GS, and there's some other people that have the opportunity to pop in there. I actually really like the way that Sarah Hector is skiing. She's been really consistent from Sweden this year, but yeah. I do find that she still is, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we're like, oh, she's like a truck coming down the hill. She's starting to find a little bit more touch in her skiing.
Yeah.
But I just really like her style. Personally, I feel like she skis like my personality, like a little harsh at times, but kind of has the potential to be a little caring.
A little harsh. At times.
You know, but it has that potential to be a little caring, just has to remind herself. Her first run was, I thought, fantastic, pretty solid. She had the fifth best time, but her second run was just a little sloppy and a little harsh with 20th being her best time.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's ski racing for you.
Mm-hmm.
But can we talk about our Canadian?
Yes, we can.
Yes. So Val made a really big mistake in her first run, and she was really upset with herself for making that mistake. Now, the athletes make mistakes the whole way down. It's what you do with those mistakes, right? So she was very upset, and she said she just wanted to go for it and make up for that mistake that she made.
Yeah, she was also saying that she was proud of herself, the nerves didn't rattle her at all, so she just kind of went for it, and she got it. Like, she was solid. Like, that was a great run. She turned it on. It was a masterclass in how to use the kind of that flatter terrain and getting on the ski early to put yourself down the hill and finding the line that you needed to be faster. It was really, it was good to see.
You nailed it. Her line was very good, especially coming over top of the rolls. Some of the gals were a little bit late in putting the pressure on that ski when they're coming over top of those knolls, and they get pushed a little bit low. Her line was spot on coming over those rolls, and she was able to dive down the back of those rolls.
Yeah, when you have really good positioning on the ski with your hips over your feet when you come to those rolls, you can actually use the ski and push off of the turn, push off of the ski on those, and actually perpetuate yourself down the hill more, which will also give you time.
Exactly. And the other thing I noticed that she was doing that some of the athletes weren't doing is she was tucking anywhere she could in there. It is a bit flatter up top, even in the middle section, there's a couple places, and she tucked and she took advantage of that set from our Canadian coach, Pierre.
Yeah, and I really do think that gave her quite a bit of an advantage on this one. He probably set the courses, well, I mean, he set the courses for his athletes, obviously, but I mean, obviously being able to get the intel from him is huge.
Exactly. So that's congratulations to Val, amazing achievement, and all of Canada is very proud of her.
Yeah, absolutely. Shall we run into the slalom?
Run into the slalom. Let's run into the slalom. Oh, wait, no, I got to talk about our Canadians here. Okay. So Britt Richardson, she was in 21st after the first run. She moved up to 19th position, starting 32nd. And she had some really nice turns over the rolls as well. Her line was good, solid body positioning, and she'll just get a little bit more confidence coming in, being able to finish and get two runs together. Our girl Sarah Bennett unfortunately did not qualify for the second run, and Cassie Gray was in 26th for the second run. However, she had a pretty good crash. She got a little inside over Noel, got on the inside of her, slid out the advertising for Kransk Agora. Maybe she got a few extra bucks for bringing attention to it.
I don't think that was her intention.
No, okay, whatever. Attack from the back. Number 53 ended up finishing 15th. Emma Eicher from Germany. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Especially in those conditions.
Yeah, pretty amazing, actually. So, yeah, it was a good race. I mean, it was definitely one of those things where the top five were within striking distance of one another, so that was great.
Well, Vlahova had won the first run by 0.34.
Yeah. And you looked at the bib numbers and you know, like everything in the top six are in the top 10.
Yeah.
And for the first run, you know, you have your top six in the top six.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Anywho, should we talk about the slalom?
Sure.
Okay. Talk about the slalom.
All right. So we started off with Vlahova as bib number one, and she kind of gave us, schooled us in how to ski the first run as number one. And, you know, you're always like, oh, is anybody going to beat her? Nope. So,
No.
I'd like to talk about Popovich for the first run, though.
Sure.
So did you see Popovich and her run? I mean, she was bib number two, so it was an interesting one.
It was. Yeah. Super kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, she came through the finish on doing a somersault. She, a couple of gates before, was already kind of reaching forward, but she caught her edge, and basically it launched her onto her tips, giving her a somersault through the finish. And it was quite frightening to see in a lot of ways. Like, I was personally a little worried for her. She landed kind of sat there at the end and laid down, and I was a little worried that she was hurt, but she shook herself off. I think it was one of those instances where she was checking herself after she wrecked herself.
Going through each part, like
a little bit of shock, kind of sitting there and being like, am I okay? Like that was rough. And I was a little worried because personally, she gets my tough as nails trophy for the day. Because the last time I saw this personally as a coach, my athlete ended with the 6-week concussion. It was not fun. And you can really hurt yourself because you are with a lot of force, like pretty much launching yourself onto your head. And sometimes
it's on a flat.
Yeah. And you can end up with whiplash and a whole bunch of other, terrible, terrible instances. But anyway, so she ended up being okay. She walked away from it and gave the old thumbs up. You can see that on her Instagram.
Yeah.
So she gets my vote for toughest nails for the day because she came back for second run. It came in 11th. So it takes a lot of mental and physical fortitude to just keep on going.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Good job for her.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple of interesting, I mean, the thing is, again, like this is all about the sets. The first set I didn't think was the most challenging, but the last few gates were a little bit more offset, which kind of gave some of the athletes a little bit of trouble if they lost their focus.
Yeah. And it wasn't like it was foggy. It was like there was a cloud in the middle of the course. And as soon as you popped out the bottom, it did clear up somewhat, but it was kind of rainy. It was kind of wet snow again. And yeah, I think just the last finish pitch. Can't put them together. There you go. The finish. The set was offset and you had to control it as you come over that last knoll into the pitch. And as long as you're balanced through there, it was okay. But some of the girls got into a bit of trouble. when they got off tempo or a little bit back or a little bit inside. And it's hard to recover going down that last pitch.
Yeah. And I mean, we had some surprising instances happen. So the first American to come down was Paula Molson. And she had a great run. The one thing I noticed about her technical skiing is that on her right foot, her hands are great and steady. And on her left foot, she just ever so slightly drops her hand. And so it really kind of sets her a little bit twisted. So I think that's kind of where she lost a little bit of time. But she ended up in fifth place. So I'd be happy with that. That's for sure.
Yeah, she's had some pretty good results all season long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for her to get on that podium.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Schifrin straddled on the first round. And that's
highly unlike her.
And as much as I am a fan of Schifrin, I kind of am a little bit happy when that happens because it gives the others opportunities to punch in there and kind of makes it a little exciting, right? Because we're so used to just the Vlahova Schifrin show for slalom.
I don't think she's going to be a fan of this place because she also didn't finish in 2022 here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she doesn't like it here.
So do you know how many times Schifrin has not finished a slalom in her career on World Cup?
Two?
8 times only.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it just goes to show like the absolute, you know, just like a clock. She's just tick, tick, tick away, right? Like barely misses a beat. So I think that's extremely impressive.
Yeah, exactly. No, and she's human.
Yep. And there was a couple of interesting mistakes made by some of the kind of veterans, I would say. Troopa hit. She was a bit back and just straddled.
Yeah.
You know, Lucic, she's, you know, 19 years old, so she needs to get a little bit more experience, but she just hipped at the top. So it was a little bit, you know, meh. And Nullmeyer, let's talk about our Canadian Nullmeyer. She just wasn't setting up an early platform. Everything looked grindy at the mid to bottom of the turn. It just wasn't fast. Her line was a little late. It was, she skis better. She skis better than this.
She does. I mean, her best result was in Zagreb in 2022, and she was fifth there. She was 17th after the first run in the slalom here. Mm-hmm. She did, unfortunately, go down 2 spots, down to 19th. I felt like she did come out charging out of the gate, but she got out of rhythm pretty quickly at the top section and then got her rhythm back and then again got out of rhythm going over the last pitch. And that's tough to regain that stability in your turns from that. And I just feel she didn't have the quickness in her turns.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. It was one of those things where maybe she was tired. I have no idea. But either way, it wasn't her usual style. That's for sure. There was a couple of people that I thought were a little bit off their mark today. Gallhuber, Austrian, one of the Katharinas. She had a good first run, but she really lost speed on the tops, like flatter section of the course. The road goes across and she had to double pole plant to make up for it.
I saw a couple of the athletes do that.
Yeah, and so that seemed to be a little bit tricky for some people. Like, they just didn't know how to handle that little bit of a bobble there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was a little bit foggy at the top, but I don't think that was the best excuse. So, I mean, you know, the pitch had a little bit of offset. The second run was set by Germany, so obviously we're going to say, okay, Lena Dürr, who came in second, that's to her advantage as well. And, again, like, the snow is wet and not a great surface for those who are really harsh on their edges.
That's right. Amelia Smart. So she was 22nd after the first run, our Canadian. Mm-hmm. Ended up in 16th, so pretty good. But she has had 3 slalom top 10s this season. So I know she's pushing to get more of those and even higher, maybe a top 8, top 5, obviously higher than that. But the second run, at the very top, she got her ski went out to the side on the flat at the very top section. And she had to bring it back in and then get back into the rhythm again of the course. Unfortunately, down the last pitch, she also was one of the victims to a non-rhythmical last pitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it tripped up a few people. But again, like, I think that's a mental mistake most of the time, or just trying to be cocky and running it too straight a little bit. But I mean, this is not a very steep pitch at the end.
No.
I don't think that there's much of an excuse here. I think it's just pilot error.
It is steeper than the rest of the course, but it's still not that steep. But you know who I really enjoyed watching was the 17-year-old Laura Kotori from Albania.
Yeah, the Italian Albanian.
That's right. Well, I mean, she started 55.
We're really just waiting for her to just get a better bib number. Like, there's nothing more to that.
No.
She has finished consistently in the top 30, and if not the top 15.
Well, not consistently. Her best result was 22nd and 23rd.
Well, she's been making flips, though.
She's been just been making some flips, but she hasn't really finished higher than 22nd. So to finish 13th, and she couldn't even like celebrate when she came down because there's so many athletes ahead of her in the first run, but very composed and very solid skiing. And she was 28th after the first run and moved all the way up to 13th.
Well, she had the third fastest run for the second run. But also, if you look at who placed just ahead of her in 12th, was Latvia. Jermaine, I'm going to say this wrong, Dzenfera? Anyway, she came in 23rd, and then she came in 5th in her second run. And again, this is also one of those courses where, because of the, I'm going to say it not so nicely, lack of terrain, some of the rookies can really just get up there, and they probably actually skied this before as just a regular FIS or sit race.
Yeah, possible. You know who I thought was amazing was our third place finisher, AJ Hurt.
Oh, well, this is her first podium.
So exciting. Yeah. Her best prior slalom result was 25th in 2023. And she had a 29th in 2021.
Yeah. She's definitely going to be having some champagne after this one. She earned it for sure. And she just skied really nicely. Like, she took all of the terrain, all the little bips and bobbles, and just had a really solid line. She finished a 0.87 back. I mean, everybody's finishing back from Vlahova. Yeah. So Vlahova won by, you know, like from first to second was 0.72. Yeah. So, but if you take that, it's 0.05 from Lena Durr. So I think it's something to be really proud of and something to build on for confidence for other slaloms in the season.
Absolutely. She was 16th after the first, 16th and moved up to third. Like, that's so good. Very good stability, really good balance. She did have one small mistake that she made. She didn't panic. She just kept on going. She really liked her run at the bottom. But again, she was where she was starting, there's still half the race to go. So she couldn't really celebrate. And she grew up skiing in California. Her dad was actually a ski patroller. So she was out there all the time.
Well, she knows how to be safe then.
Yeah, so she sure does know how to fix herself if it happens. But this was her 61st World Cup start, and she finally got on the podium. So congrats to the American AJ Hurt.
This is one of those sports, though, where it can take a while. You can be on the circuit for a long time, and you can just pop in there as a rookie, and that's very exciting for you. But at the same time, a lot of these people are grinding away and earning their medal, quite literally. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, there's a pun in there somewhere.
Yes.
Lena Durr. Mm-hmm. Germany.
Yep, set by the coach. So, I mean, obviously an advantage. Skied it really solidly. Lena Dern has been doing very well this season. I don't think it's a huge surprise.
But she's overshadowed, right, by the Lahova Schifrin show. But she's been there. She's gotten second, third, fourth, and second this season. Does anybody even know that out there? Yes, because they listen to our podcast. But other than that,
well, other than two people. Overshadowed.
Yes, three. Fact check. So she is the only female other than Schifrin and Petra Vlahova, who has actually won three. I'm going to change that now. They're both at four podium finishes. So in World Cup slaloms this season.
Yeah, I think that I feel badly for those who are not the Vlahova Schifrin show, as I've said many times before, because I do think that there's missed opportunity even for sponsorships and so on and so forth. It's very hard to get in there.
Oh, absolutely it is. And Durr, she's had 11 slalom podiums already, now 12. She did win a race in Czechoslovakia in 2023. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the potential is there, but man, it's tough race against those other gals.
The one thing I did notice is that the Germans are skiing a little bit differently than some of the other ones. If you look at the Swiss to the German technique, you will notice a little bit a different posture on the ski. They're a little bit more, I don't like to use the word standing tall, but they're a little bit more upright because they're getting their hips over their feet in a different way, which I actually like. I think it's a really good system and technique to use, especially on this type of hill.
Well, it's really what you need to do, right? And to get the most out of each and every turn. Now, Lena, she did get into trouble over the last pitch, but again, she's another girl that didn't panic. She just got the rhythm back in again. She got into trouble in the hairpin, which is only a few gates from the finish, but you're so close. You just keep on motoring, and second place is awesome for Lena.
Yep, absolutely. Well, before we move over to the gentlemen, shall we thank our sponsors?
No, because I'm not ready yet. I want to talk about Vlahova. So Vlahova was tied with Erica Hess, one of my heroes from the day. So now she has the most wins in World Cup slalom events, second, behind Shiffrin, of course. Behind Shiffrin, Shield, and Schneider. Oh, Randy Schneider. She is from my time, too. Anyway, so she's definitely moving up the rankings with all those wins. So, yeah, now she has, 22 slalom victories? That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, huge. Just how much hardware can you take home?
Well, I'll tell you who took home the very first victory in Women's World Cup in alpine skiing 57 years ago. The very first World Cup event in alpine skiing won by Canada's Nancy Green.
Yeehaw. And she's still January a firebrand today.
Oh my gosh, she sure the heck is. She's amazing. Anyway, so yeah, now let's give a shout out.
All right, we're going to give a shout out to Vocal Marker and Del Bello. Thank you very much for supplying us with lovely stuff and great equipment to make us go fast and our athletes go fast. And then we'd also like to thank Freshwater Distillery for our après.
Après. Gotta love the après.
Yep.
Right on. So we moved on to Switzerland for the men's GS races, Adelboden.
Yes.
You've been there before, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, actually. It's a really interesting course. I really like the slalom that we had here. The women's slalom that we had was just a regular fist slalom, so we didn't have that steep pitch at the bottom. But it was one of my favorite courses just because it has a little bit of a side hill here and it kind of jogs a little to the skier's left when you're coming down it. It's just an interesting profile. And that bottom steep is deep, let me tell you. That's got some pitch on there, and the interesting thing is the first race that was held here was 1967, so it was actually after Kranskuba.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah, and the only people to win three times in a row here, Stenmark, of course, and Meyer.
Wow. Amazing.
Yep. So we had our GS on the Saturday, our slalom on the Sunday. So let me tell you a little bit about this one. This one was, I don't even know how to pronounce this course name. Tunis Bergli?
Oh, that sounds so good.
The start altitude is 1624 meters. The finish altitude is 1310. The vertical drop is 314. I already gave you the kind of profile of the course. So first setter was United States with Michael Bensmer. He had 40 gates and 40 turning gates. And then the second run was set by France with Romain Velez with 40 gates and 40 gates again. It's pretty cloudy day, not so hot for vision.
Yeah, kind of foggy-ish till halfway down. The light was a little bit flat. And they actually had the lights turned on for the second run.
Yep, there was.
Line in the course.
Mm-hmm.
So this was challenging.
Yes.
This was a challenging course.
This is a challenging hill.
Yes.
There's a lot of terrain coming at you. It's not like even the flattest parts are not as flat as you think. You can get a lot of speed. You have to ski the smart with a lot of tactics in order to get down the hill properly. And you have to make sure that you're abusing and using those terrain changes to your advantage. If you get caught behind, especially when you come onto that pitch, you are screwed.
Oh yeah. And especially with the side hills, you have to compensate for that little bit longer feel on those left footers to get you back over again, quicker turns on the right. There was one bump halfway down. There was a bump. And then there was and all of a sudden compression.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that, and if you're not, and it's flat light, if you're not ready for it, it caught some of the athletes.
Yeah, and that's an inspection as well, right? So when you're going through inspection, you have to take note of those types of things, especially because in inspection, it wasn't sunny. So they knew what the light was going to be like. So they really have to take mental note of what the conditions are and what they're not going to be able to see, but they can handle on inspection. And you're going to be able to know, especially at this stage of the game, that that's going to be a little bit of a trickier piece of terrain.
Absolutely. And one of the turns that I mean, it was a buck and bronco right from the start to the very finish. Yep. But as they're coming over two-thirds of the way down the course, there's a big left footer that had an undergate in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that caught some of the athletes because it wasn't a natural turn. There's actually a fall away on the left. And I saw some of the guys actually stepping. To get over back onto the line. So, yeah, they would have seen that in inspection, but you don't really expect the way it pushes you down to do those the stepping.
Yeah, and having been there, I would say that that follow-away is significantly more than it looks like on TV. And when I was actually there, I was with a Swiss coach. She was one of the best mentors I ever had to understand how a course runs. And I was like, isn't that going to slow them down? And he's like, nope. I was like, okay. And then I watched and I was like, eh, he's right. But it is, but it is up to the setter. And it definitely is a challenging aspect for the racers coming down.
Well, it was very challenging, especially for our Canadian athletes. We had Justin, Liam, Jordan, James, and Eric Reeder. Eric Reed. None of them were able to qualify for that flip.
Yeah, it obviously not a problem for Norway, though.
No, they had so many in there. That four out of the top seven were from Norway.
Yep. Yeah, five out of the top 10. And then I guess it was six Norwegians out of the 30 just qualifying for it. So it's interesting. So obviously they can handle their steeps and their weird terrain.
Well, one person who wasn't there was Marco Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
So he's injured. And so that does open the door for some of these tech skiers to pop in there.
Yeah. And Pantero wasn't there because his wife was having a baby and he has priorities. So kudos to him.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess kudos to him. I'm like, I would be, if I was like the wife, maybe this is why I'm not married, I'd be like, dude, go earn me 50,000 Swiss francs and then come see the baby.
Well, you don't know what his financial situation's like, so.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Go give me 50,000 Swiss francs.
Go win this one for the baby. Maybe he'll be there
for it's the rest of his life. Like, it's whatever.
Anyway. Maybe he wanted to be there for the birth itself, which only happens once. I don't know, Wendy. I don't even like children, and I'm arguing on the side of way to go, Pedro.
Whatever. There's nothing the guy can do when they're there anyway. Wait, good job, honey. I don't know.
Either right. way, Whatever. We're not going to go into this. Congratulations, Pedro.
Now, he did, his wife actually manages his press releases.
Well, good job. She's a multitasker and she popped it up on social media. Anyway, so let's go back to the race.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So out of the top 30, I mean, there were some surprises when it came to actually who ended up in the top five for me. Just given the fact that, you know, River Radmus was 20th for his first run and then popped it in and got the first fastest second run. Just nailed it.
Absolutely amazing. I knew that kid was going to do something. And wow, what a second run.
Yeah, he just missed the podium, but he was in fourth. And yeah, that's going to be a confidence builder on such a tough course.
Absolutely. And what I did notice is some of the, like, it was almost all the top 30 made the flip. There are only a few that poked in from outside of the top 30.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's to do with weather and the rock and rollness of this course.
Yeah. I mean, as the whole season, we've been talking about how, you know, it's been anybody's race usually for most of the generally easier courses. But when it comes to harder courses, even like Bormio, we've generally just seen a little bit lack of that. And that's when you have to have the experience on the tracks as well as with the sets, because the sets at different levels do affect how you take a course. And this set was hard. Both of these sets were hard.
Yeah, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And also kudos to the volunteer course workers who are out there trying to take care of these runs in nasty weather. They did a really good job. So credit to those volunteers to do all that stuff.
Yeah, let's go over our podium first. Let's sure. Croatia.
I said, sure.
Oh, I thought you said
No. Sure.
All right. So we have Filip Zubcic from Croatia coming in third. He had the 12th fastest first run and then nailed it with the 4th fastest second run. He was 1.77 seconds behind Kilde. Really solid and great run by him. He came as third for the second run and the first run. And he was 1.26 seconds. And who absolutely killed it as always, Marco Odermatt. He's Swiss. He knows this hill anyway. And he just killed it by a second and a quarter.
Well, Odermatt won in 2022. He won in 2023. Now he won in 2024.
Yep.
Like, this kid's on fire.
Yep. And so now he kind of ends up with those guys who won three times in a row here.
Amazing. So Zubcic, so all three of his podium finishes in World Cup GS were in Adelboden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. One in Adelboden, one in Alta Badia, but both were second places. And now he got a third place, another one, but at least he's on the podium. So that's good. Well, it was exciting watching Zubcic's run. His line was really good over the knolls. He absorbed the bumps and the everything that he had to. He did really well. He did get air over a last bump into the finish, but he actually had the proper direction in the air. So when he landed, he just kept edging and he carried on and got third.
Yep. Keep calm and carry on.
Keep calm. Okay. Kilde. What is he doing on the podium in a tech event?
He can turn. Like, he can turn. He's good at Super G and he's good at downhill. I mean, Super G is a thing for him as well, right? So this would play to his strengths of maybe risking it a little bit and also being able to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Side hills, being able to use that terrain, not being intimidated by those steeps. I mean, he is extremely good on things like the strafe, Kitzbühel. So this is not going tough to intimidate courses. Him. Yeah, getting his hips over his feet, like we said, and just going. So I'm not too shocked by that. I think it's great. I think it absolutely is great.
It's his first tech podium.
I know, right?
It's ridiculous. But what I really like about him, class act. So Odermatt wins. Kilde is just shaking his head at the finish, like, what can you do?
Yep.
And what I thought was really, really cool is he was encouraging the crowd to cheer for Odermatt, like at the finish line and stuff like that. I thought that was really classy.
Did you think this was kind of a pleasant surprise for him as well?
Pleasant surprise. He was hooping and hollering. So watched a video with Schifrin watching his run.
Yes, I saw that.
And she was like, what? He's the king.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, he really is. That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
So there was an Italian that I watched.
Oh.
Filippo Della Vite.
Yes.
A young guy from Italy. He got sanctioned.
For what?
And exactly. So I looked at his run. I go, I don't see anything that sanctionable. He punched a gate. Is that a sanction? Because I've seen athletes punch gates before when they're upset.
Was it? Now, my question is it equipment? Was there a fluoro involved? Was there a height difference?
He didn't finish.
Yeah, but you can still get sanctioned for that. Your equipment is still important, right? Like, doesn't matter if you finish the race or not. So the only thing I can think of is his equipment. And that doesn't mean if there was fluoro on his skis or not, because there's also, like, boot heights and there is binding heights. There's everything. I mean, we had to shave down a boot board by 2 millimeters in the equipment hut once to qualify before we even got onto the hill, because they do an equipment check before you even get onto the circuit. So if you've switched something up, it could be that thing in particular. So it's the only thing I could really think of, but I mean, we're gonna have to look into that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I just found it interesting. I can't be, because he punched the gate, but I couldn't find any information as to why he got sanctioned.
No, it's kind of a mystery, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we good with the giant slalom?
We are good with the giant slalom.
All right, let's move on to the slalom now.
Sure.
This is one of my favorite slaloms on the circuit.
Oh my god, it's very good. I like it.
Yep, it was foggy at the top again. That's for sure. I'll go over the setters, shall I?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So same course, start altitude is 1513, finish altitude is 1302, vertical drop is 211 meters. The course setter for the first run was Austria with Robert Feuss, I'm going to say, is 67 turning gates, 69 gates. The second run setter was Germany, Bernd Brunner, with 62 gates, 63 turning gates. It was pretty cloudy at the top for sure, and the snow was meh It was good.
Yeah, it was a bit foggyish on the top. Again, the lower they got, the less fog. But there was a light snow, almost like a light wet snow.
Yes.
So I saw on this one, it was a little bit flatter at the top for the start of the slalom. Then it went over Knoll, and it was kind of getting a little bit more terrain-y. And then it went over another Knoll. Went over another Knoll, and it got steeper. And then they go over the last Knoll in that super crazy pitch into the finish.
Yeah, it is. That's why it's one of my favorites. Again, like that terrain, and often it offers the setters a lot of creativity in how they use that terrain as well. I mean, I think if you look at who handled in the first run the steeps really well, Steen Olsen was definitely handled it so well.
And he really did.
He didn't finish his second run, but his first run was so great.
So solid. Oh, and he's so young, and he was right there, and I think he just wanted it so, like, he was almost half a second up.
Yeah, and we're gonna say, like, for the second run, he hipped out on the fifth gate at the top. So it was, but I mean, like, he's gonna gain a little bit of confidence, I hope. Disappointment, absolutely, but maybe that will light a little bit of fire under his ass. Eric Reed, can I tell you, he came out of the pitch on the heels, just didn't take the terrain change very well at the end there, and just grindy and recovery and not smooth.
Yeah. So he ended up in 20th. He's in the points again, but I know he can ski better than that. And I was hoping maybe with the rest after the break, he'd come out all cylinders going. 20th, I mean, it's respectable, but he did make some of those major mistakes that I think if we can eliminate those, obviously he can move up.
I just don't feel like the disco sticks are really working for him that well this season. I think that he's doing better in the GS and the Super Gs and stuff. Like, it's just, you know, like, maybe it's the training thing. Like, we know that earlier in the season he hadn't spent a ton of time on it. So, I don't know. Right. Like, I just don't think he's really handling the reaction very well from the skis. And being on your heels when you're coming over a pitch, it's a setup and kind of a pilot error and a bit of a something I would expect from someone with less experience.
Yeah. Right. Well, unfortunately for the other two Canadians, Justin and Liam, they did not finish the first run. Bummer.
Yeah. And the interesting thing also about this is that there was 1 second pretty much separating the top 13 or 15 skiers in the first run, which made it quite exciting for the second run.
Well, I even saw a bunch of big mistakes. I'm talking hip slides. I'm talking way, way low.
But inside skiing,
all kinds of mistakes. But I did notice some of the top 15s did make those mistakes, and we're still in the top 15. I don't even know how.
Yeah, I found that a lot of them, if they handled the pitch well and conservatively, and then at the end of the pitch kind of let it go a little bit, that was where they would gain that time back.
But yeah.
For me, that's what I noticed, is that they got the feet out there, they risked the line because they knew they had made the mistakes, and it paid off.
Well, it didn't pay off for 26 of the athletes. They didn't finish the first run.
I know. It's a rough one. It for sure is a rough one. Yeah. I mean, second run was a little bit also more interesting because they had some crossroads to deal with as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the flat light.
Yeah. And after the really steep pitch at the end, just coming into the finish, there's, you know, a nice pin and then two regular gates into a flush, so you can, like, you're tired, your legs are burning, your brain is fire. And you cannot let go of that focus at all.
No, absolutely they can't. Yeah, that's for sure. So did you know that Austria has taken 4 out of the 6 podium places in the opening two events of the Men's World Cup slalom this season?
I had not noticed that. No,
now you know. So there you go.
I appreciate you.
I know. Somebody does. Thank you.
it was interesting to see Kristoffersen hike a slalom. I didn't know you could do that still.
Okay, I got to talk about him. So why did he get disqualified?
Because he hiked.
So?
You can't hike anymore.
Is this a new rule?
Mm-hmm. No hiking.
Well. Well.
If you come to a stop, you can't hike even a slalom anymore.
Was he really at a stop, though?
If he has to walk up the hill, yeah, he does.
Well, after his ski was on top of it, he did have to back up, and then he went around. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. That's fine. He also punched a gate, by the way.
Yeah, he would be pissed. I mean, he also went into the finish and was like, don't talk to me. Don't get this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's, as we know, he's a fiery dude. That's for sure.
He really is. He really is.
But yeah, I was confused when I saw him hike. I was like, can you hike? And then I was like, no, you can't hike. You can't even hike in U16 races anymore.
Yeah, no, you got to have the momentum has to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So did you know that Norwegians filled the top two places in last year's World Cup slalom in Adelboden?
I don't think I recall that.
Lucas Bratton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's retired now, but he was there and he was in first, and Atlee Lee McGrath was second.
Oh, well, Atlee Lee McGrath was in second again.
So why don't they change his name? Can't they just call him At and then Lee and then McGrath? Why does it have to be Atlee Lee?
Because I think it's Atlee Lee. Atlee.
Well, whatever. It's like double the Lee.
Can you offend every single Norwegian at the same time by mangling and making and asking them to change their language?
Just so I have a better understanding. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and I mean, interesting. Third to bib 35 to third, Dominic Rashner. Rashner, I would say. A great, fantastic.
Yeah, number 35. He was 14th mm-hmm. after the first run. 14th after the first run. So we still had half the athletes to come down. Super composed, very well balanced. It was very exciting to watch his run.
Yeah, and then we had, obviously, Norway second, and our first place was Manuel Feller.
So Atlee Lee McGrath was 0.02 behind Manny, and I think I know where he lost the time.
I'm
gonna tell you where. Okay. In the last flush, mm-hmm. he was turning way more than Manny.
I agree.
Manny was super direct, and you could see Atlee turning in a flush.
I agree. Even the pin before, he like Feller just nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that could have cost that 2 100s.
Yeah, I mean, the 2 100s can be kind of made up at any point, but definitely that was the more glaring.
I'm gonna go with my flush.
Yeah, I know it was the more glaring one for sure.
Yeah,
and definitely that would have been a huge difference.
So, Manny Feller.
Mm-hmm.
The champion.
Championne.
Yeah, so he was fifth after the first run. He, like I mentioned before, he was second in Adelboden in 2022. What's he been? First and fifth this year and first? First, fifth, first? So, what I noticed about him, super quick feet. Like, his reactions are just amazing.
Also, on that pitch to the bottom, he had better angles. You could see mm-hmm. his legs were out there. His line was better. He was just he was accelerating the ski, especially on that flat into the finish. It was cleaner and better skiing, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well balanced, very patient, deserved the win. Exciting race to watch.
Yay.
Did you know that Austria has won 10 men's World Cup slalom events?
No, I did not.
Only one fewer victory than all other countries combined, which was 11, except now Austria has now tied it.
Ooh.
So very strong.
That's great.
Anyway, yeah. Good job, Austria.
Mm-hmm. Nice job. Österreich.
Mm-hmm. Österreich. I was just going to say that. Isn't that weird?
No.
Oh, okay. My attack from the back, the American River Radamus. We just talked about him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Started number 70 in that rock and roll, freaking crazy buck and bronco course of the slalom. Finished 19th.
Yep.
Like, how did he do that starting 70th?
Talent.
And his dad was the former coach for the U.S., Aldo Radamus. So
yeah, that might have picked up
a few things. When he came through the finish, he was super excited. Of course, he is going to be because he was in that nice red hot seat for a while. Kissed the snow in the finish.
Hmm,
it was very cute. Nice. He had a big beardy thing on, and it was very white and snowy.
Nice. I mean, if you want an exciting race to watch, definitely watch Adelboden. That is definitely one of the highlights of the season for me.
Yeah, fully agree.
And I think that, do we have anything else to say about this race? I think I'm good.
Why are the guys all wearing neck tubes?
Because one of the British commenters made a comment about how he didn't like them. So maybe it's in protest. I don't know.
I'm like, why are all these guys wearing neck tubes? I would hate that feeling.
I don't care. Maybe they just get chilly necks. Who knows? Maybe they all got tats and need to cover them up. I don't know.
That's for my movie work. Cover the tats. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was weird. Mm. Anyway, that's really all I have to say.
All right. Well, I mean, for this week, I've been Shelley.
And I've been Wendy.
All right. Well, keep your tips up.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Put your headphones on, Wendy.
Yeah. Boy, fuck is my phone. Slalom. Where the fuck is my slalom for the men?